It is Thursday, once again, Therapy Thursday, where we spend a little time on the couch with Dr. Steve Craig, psychologist and corporate coach for Craig Counseling Services in Bloomfield Hills. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, everybody.
You just brought us, boy, you just always bring us good stuff, and this one is a toughie, but go ahead.
Lloyd was looking at it. He's had time to prepare.
I was sneaking a little bit.
Okay, we'll go to you first, then. Dr. Steve. My coworkers and I need help dealing with a dysfunctional coworker. Maybe it's about Lloyd. That's why. Our four-person team got a new member this year, and the entire team has gotten super tense since she arrived. She's an equal, but micromanages us, is combative and critical when she talks with us, but doesn't even do her own job well. The problem is we know she got the job because she knows someone who knows our boss. So we can't talk to the boss about her because he has a history of favoritism, and she puts on a good face for him, and it is clear he's impressed with her. And we can't talk to her about it because it would be ugly and make things worse. And if we go to HR, we're afraid we'll just be labeled as troublemakers or accused of ganging up and scapegoating her. So every day is uncomfortable, and it's getting worse. Now we all feel trapped, agitated, and are looking for new jobs. But we work at a great company and used to love it here. So how do we make things better without making things more uncomfortable or worse for everyone? Or do we all just shut up and let it correct itself since it's only been 6 months?
Where is this place?
This is like every place.
Yes.
You mean, Lloyd, you didn't know?
We changed it from three-person team to four.
No, but she's micromanaging. She knows somebody. She knows the boss or knows somebody in there. So, you know, you have these workers who are like, damned if they do, damned if they don't. You can't go to HR, which you should be able to at least go to HR. And somebody in HR ought to be like, okay, you know, what's going on here? But it's really a hot mess is what it is. That's all I can say.
Your answer?
It's a hot mess.
I think you absolutely have to talk to someone because you can't work like this. And you spend most of your time with your coworkers every single day. So I think you go to HR.
You have to.
You can't go to the boss, I guess, if they're friendly. So go to HR and talk about your issues and see if there can be some sort of mediation.
Or you go to the boss and you go as a unified team and you say, look, you're going to be held accountable if this team doesn't succeed. And we have one member who is going to be giving you problems. So no matter who you know that put her here, that's going to backfire on you. We're just telling you because we respect you, and we want to perform at the level that you expect.
That's my friend. Get out of my office.
then that's fine. Then you at least, but you've done what you need to do by putting it in your boss's interest. You could suffer consequences because this team will underperform.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure we perform for you because we like you.
Guy's doing the pressure up the chain strategy here.
Full disclosure, boss, you got a problem.
Right.
Strength in numbers.
So what I would say is this is so common, but to me it's easy. I don't even understand. If you're unwilling to have uncomfortable conversations, you're going to have uncomfortable relationships.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And so this everything here is an excuse not to have a difficult conversation. Can't go to the boss, can't go here, can't go. Okay, well, this person's sort of dysfunctional in a passive way.
Mm-hmm. And it's presumption that everybody else is going to act in bad faith.
Everyone's going to act in bad faith. Everyone else needs to save me. HR needs to save me. The boss needs to save me. Everybody else needs to save me. I realize it's difficult. It's a difficult conversation. But like I said, if you don't have them, then it's tense all the time. And so, like I said, dysfunctional in the past, the person they're talking about is dysfunctional in an aggressive way, but you're not helping the problem at all by being passive. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe I do this all the time, so I don't understand. But what you do is you go talk to her. It's your life. It's your problem. We don't need anyone else to save you. Hey, I'm having troubles with you. I feel like you're micromanaging. I feel like this. And you go to the boss. I feel like I can't come to you because I feel like you have... And you go to HR. I feel like this. Why can't you talk to everybody? Why is everything an excuse not to be able to talk to people?
Do you go as a group or do you go as one, one person?
You go as both. The group talks and say, well, I think we should go together or I think I go individually or you do this. But you take ownership for your situation and you go and handle it, whether it's like I said, you know... But you go, like, and you talk it straight out. You say, you know, like, let's just call this person, say, Lloyd. See, we're having a trouble with Lloyd.
God. Don't know too many of those.
But no environment, no relationship, no marriage, no home, no family is devoid of difficult people. Part of the challenge in any workplace isn't to get the job done. It's to try and deal with all the difficult personalities. It's part of what you have to do. Leaders lead. And that's a cliche, but they go take responsibility for this. And followers wait around for someone else to solve their problems, and they hope they're going to climb the mountain without struggle.
Yeah.
You got to go do something about it. I mean, when I was reading this, I was thinking, next week I go to the Jersey Shore for like a family reunion. So it's me and my two brothers and the families. And there's a huge conflict going on. It's going to be, my wife is afraid to go. There's like 4 days of conflict.
Steve, but tell me how you feel about that.
The first thing we're going to do is avoid all the difficult conversations. No, the first thing we're going to do is when we get there, my brothers and I have decided we're going to, the first thing when we all get there, me and my two brothers, we're going away somewhere and we're going to work out the stuff before we start the vacation, because if not, it'll be a mess the whole time.
Good on you.
Wow.
Yes.
After you said what you said, I think I might be dysfunctional in a passive way in my life. I'm so passive.
I saw you look at me when I thought you went, oh, no.
Oh, shoot. What if they don't get what they need from boss or HR or from her? Then that's your time to move on?
Well, you got to go back. People don't always just drop everything and say, wow, you were right. Sometimes you have to go back and say, hey, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I feel like nothing's happened. Again, take ownership and responsibility. But over time, it either has to get worked out or you have to make the changes. Mm-hmm. But if they came to me and I was in any of those roles, the first thing I do is say, well, I'm the CEO. Did you talk to your boss? Did you talk to HR? Did you talk to that? What did you do? Did you go back? Did you handle any of this, or you want to throw it on my lap?
So great. Great scenario and great advice.
He's going to therapize me again. I see it.
No, he's going to bring another topic.
I'm going to bring another topic in. This thing with the LA school district telling kids you got to break up with your cell phone. You can't use it during the day. It's going to be a statewide, and they're talking statewide ban perhaps in California. Okay, that's fine for the kids. But for parents that have this security blanket of always being able to reach their child by text, how do you break that?
How do you break? Well, first of all, I think that's an unenforceable thing. I get the point because it's just out of control, but it's so ingrained. I don't know how we're going to do it. But if parents have to follow the same rules, if they want the kids to give it up, they have to give it up. You can't role model, I'm on my phone constantly, but I need you to not be on your phone. But how are you going to break that? It's like breathing. Everyone is stuck on their phone all the time. It's really hard.
Put your phone in a bucket or something when you go to school. Phone-free zone, sound good.
But the only way you're going to do that is something like that where you take it out of their hands. But the pushback is going to be, but safety. Mm-hmm. But my kid is needed for safety. I need it for safety.
My parents didn't need that.
Mine either.
I survived. Yeah.
Right. But that's the pushback. Oh, my God, my kids are endangered all the time, and they're not responding to me about what we're going to have for dinner. You know.
Dr. Steve Craig, psychologist, corporate coach for Craig Counseling Services in Bloomfield Hills. You've solved the problems of the world again today. Thank you so much.
I will.
Coming up, crime victims will testify before the Senate Civil Rights Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. They're in support of the Safer Michigan Act. We'll talk with the lead sponsor of that act coming up at 7:35.